asked. "But they are some of the fiercest creatures in the Underdark. Are you sure that you won't need help?"
"I'll be okay," I said as I reached down to pat the handle of my M17. "I have a magic boomstick."
"Oh,"
Callie said as her blue eyes grew big. "Any other questions?"
"I have another one,"
Callie said. "Shoot."
"Do you guys always have this much fun?"
she asked excitedly. "Saw-saw," my son told her with a happy nod. "All right," I said. "Does everyone know the plan?" They both nodded. "Good. Let's do this." I tied off my rope to a large glowing crystal and peeked over the ledge. The drop was about 100 feet, and at the bottom there was a small pile of rubble. There were no guards patrolling the perimeter of the king's palace, so I tossed down the rope. Saw-saw went first, but I couldn't see him as he shimmied down the rope in invisible mode. I went next, and Callie followed close behind. When I glanced up to see how she was doing, I was reminded that she wasn't wearing any bottoms. It was hard to focus with her cute little ass sticking out as she rappelled down the cliff face, but I managed to make it to the bottom without falling. "Where is your trident?" I asked when Callie and I both got to the bottom.
"I couldn't carry it down,"
she whispered as she pointed up to the top of the cliff.
"I'm not used to climbing with my arms. I hope that is okay."
"Yeah, that's fine," I said. "You are just going to be carrying treasure." Saw-saw went out of his camouflage mode and excitedly waved us over to where he was peering from behind a boulder. "Saw-saw," he said as he pointed at the gap between the two boulders that concealed our alcove. The passage between the two boulders created a bit of a tunnel, and it seemed to lead right toward the base of the king's stalagmite. "Good job, little dude," I said. I went into the tunnel first, followed by Saw-saw and Callie. Just as the map said, the secret passage led to a big grate in the floor of the king's quarters. When we reached a grate in the ceiling of the tunnel, I realized that the tunnel I was in must have been some sort of irrigation trench built by the much cleverer dwarves. The three of us waited inside the tunnel and listened. I could hear a loud group of goblins celebrating somewhere in the palace, most likely toasting the king's birthday, but none of the voices sounded very close. "All right, follow my lead, and be quiet," I told the other two. The grate simply sat on the floor of the room above me, and I had no trouble moving it aside. Then I crawled into the circular room. I could hardly see a thing through the gloom, but I could make out some furniture and a big stone bed covered with furs, so I motioned the others to wait as I snuck over to the big wooden door. I opened it up a crack, and I peered out into the hallway. A torch burned on the wall, but aside from that it was empty. Music and voices carried from deeper in the structure, but the sounds were far away and muffled. I motioned for Saw-saw and Callie to join me, and together we crept out into the hall. I found the stairwell that Nika had told me about and descended it quietly. The party continued above us, but no sounds came from below. At the end of the stairs, there was a big metal door, and to my dismay, I found it locked. I peered through the keyhole and saw light in the room that looked the same shade as the glowing crystals found in other parts of the Underdark. "We've got a problem," I told the other two. "The door is locked."
"Saw-saw,"
the half-goblin boy said as he moved around me and set down his molly pack. He rummaged through it, pulled out what looked like two tiny shanks, put both of the small metal blades into the keyhole, and then wiggled them around with his tongue hanging out of his mouth. After about 10 seconds, there was a click, and Saw-saw turned to grin at me.
"Where did you get those, and just how did you learn how to do that?" I asked with a soft chuckle.
"Mama,"
he said proudly as he put his tools away.
"Good job, buddy,"
I said as I patted him on the head. Then I took hold of the door handle and took a deep breath. "I'll let you both know when I've taken care of the Minotaur."
"Do you need any help with your boomstick?"
Callie asked, and I saw that her eyes were looking down, but not at my holstered gun.
"I think I've got this, babe," I said as I pulled my M17 from its holster.
In truth, I was a bit worried about taking out a Minotaur since my 9mm bullets had been a bit ineffective against the bugbear earlier, but this time I did have a different strategy. I'd aim for the head. If the vault door was anything to go by, I guessed that the walls beyond were extremely thick, and with the noise coming from upstairs, I had no worries about someone hearing a gunshot. I slowly opened the door, and it swung quietly on its hinges. A quick peek into the room didn't reveal a Minotaur lying in wait, but what I did see took my breath away. The vault was at least 40 feet in diameter, and it reminded me of Scrooge McDuck's swimming pool full of money. The vault held thousands upon thousands of gold coins. Stacks of the riches were piled up the sides of the walls, spilled out of treasure chests, and burst from fat sacks. Aside from the gold, there were diamonds, rubies, pearls, sapphires, and endless varieties of other precious stones. There were weapons and armor as well, along with silver chalices, large statuettes, golden goblets, fine silverware, plates, and mugs. I couldn't believe my eyes. Nika had said that her father had a lot of treasure, but I had no idea this was what she meant. I crossed the threshold and closed the door behind me. The treasure gleamed in the light of the glowing crystals, and I tore my eyes away to search for the Minotaur who was supposedly guarding the treasure. I didn't see any such beast in the chamber, and I wondered if perhaps Nika had been mistaken about the guardian. Then I saw that one of the gold statues depicted a 10-foot-tall man with a bull's head. His arms were crossed over his massive chest, and even though the statue did look inert, I still pointed my gun at it. There were a dozen or so gilded statues surrounding the Minotaur, but they were mostly dwarves, so I crept toward the group of them and watched the bull's eyes and its chest for movement. As I drew closer, I compared its gilded skin to that of the other statues, but it was buried in gold and treasure up to the ankles, just like the others, and didn't seem to be breathing. I didn't think it was real, but I had to make sure, so I grabbed a heavy gold coin and threw it at the statue. The coin hit it in the chest, but it didn't make a metallic sound. It made the sound of a coin thudding against flesh. The statue suddenly came alive, tucked its head, and charged horns first. I was ready for the attack and took careful aim at its head before I squeezed the trigger. The golden paint was replaced by a gaping red hole as the bullet tore through the monster's skull and exploded out the back. The monster dropped, hard, slid across the gold coins, and then stopped at my feet. "There's a new sheriff in town," I said in my best cowboy-sounding voice. Then I aimed my gun at the remaining statues and tossed coins at each of them. A resounding metallic clink told me that they weren't alive, so I holstered my M17 and looked at the corpse of the golden bullman. I remembered Nika's insistence that I get my hands on Minotaur balls if I could, and though I didn't want to perform the dirty deed, I knew that she would be disappointed if I didn't. Once I had chopped off the creature's nuts and stashed them in my molly pack, I opened the vault door and let the others in.
"Dada!"
Sawsaw exclaimed when he saw the dead Minotaur. "He's dead, buddy," I told him. "Both of you grab as much as you can carry. Let's be quick." I put down my molly pack and filled it with diamonds, rubies, emeralds, and sapphires. A heavily adorned goblet went in next, along with necklaces, bracelets, and glittering rings. Sawsaw filled his little molly pack and shouldered it with a grunt, and Callie piled necklaces on her neck, added exotic bracelets to her wrists, and put a ring on every one of her long fingers. Then she hefted a small treasure chest and carried it over to the door. I looked at all the loot and knew that we wouldn't be able to get it up the cliffside without some sort of pulley system. Then I got a great idea. "Come on," I told the others as I gestured to the door. The treasure was heavy as hell, but I was used to rucking packs. Sawsaw was a strong little dude and seemed to have no trouble with his load. Callie, on the other hand, looked like she had bitten off more than she could chew, and her long bare legs seemed to tremble with each step she took. "You need help?" I offered.
"No, thank you,"
she said with a determined smile. We waited and listened for a moment before we continued. The party upstairs sounded like it was in full swing. Heavy drums shook the stone structure. Shrill wind instruments blared, and a chorus of goblin voices sang a triumphant song. "Let's go," I told the others, and together we snuck up the stairs, down the hall, and into the king's chamber. We hurried back into the secret passage, and then I replaced the grate before following Callie through the tunnel to the back. Sawsaw gave the all clear, and we emerged from the stalagmite. "All right, listen," I said as I glanced back up the cliffside. There is a shitload of treasure down there, and we have to get as much as we possibly can. I'm going to go back up to the rail and set up a pulley so we can haul the loot up, and then I think we can use one of those carts to haul it out. You two go back in there and bring more treasure out, and stack it up right here.
Saw, saw, my son said with a crisp salute.
This is so much fun,
Callie declared as she did a little dance and took off all of her jewelry.
Be careful, you two. The first sign of trouble, you get your asses back here. Nobody try to be a hero.
Dada,
Saw-Saw said as he became invisible. All right, then. Get going, I said. I was a little concerned that they might get caught, but Nika's favorite quote came to mind, and I tried not to worry. Instead, I shimmied back up the rope to the ledge and ran over to the discarded equipment by the rail. There were four carts in varying degrees of disrepair, bent metal wheels, rusted buckets, picks with broken halves, bent shovels, and lanterns which looked like they hadn't seen a drop of oil in at least 100 years. I found one cart that only needed front wheels, so I flipped it over and went to work on it. There was a pair of discarded wheels nearby that looked straight enough, and I matched them to a metal axle that didn't crumble into dust when I bent it in my hands. Then I slid the axle through the cart's two mooring rings and attached the wheels. Once the cart was repaired, I put it on the rail and tested its maneuverability. It rolled easily, so I placed a heavy stone in front of one of the wheels so that the cart wouldn't roll away, and focused on my next task. I rummaged through the pile again and pulled out another pair of wheels. A natural shelf hung over the one I stood on, and a number of mooring rings had been pounded into the stone. They were most likely used to create pulley systems to lower the loads of gold brought to the city by the rail, and I could use them to do the same. But first, I needed to rig the system. I looped my rope through the two tackles I pulled from my pack so that I would have a mechanical advantage, and then passed the ropes over the wheels so that I could bend the line with more leverage. I knew the setup would work, but my biggest obstacle was going to be getting the sheaf hooked to one of the mooring rings above. The shelf was 20 feet over my head, and there weren't any ladders about, so I would have to fashion something long enough to reach the mooring ring. I glanced at all the broken carts and knew I could build a ladder in about 15 minutes, but then I realized that sometimes it was better to solve problems the manual way. I ran to the ledge and looked back down to the foot of the cliff. Callie and Saw-Saw were just coming out again with armloads of loot, and I tossed a small stone down to get my son's attention. They both looked up, and I gestured for Saw-Saw to join me after they both dumped their loot on the ground. "Hey, buddy, I need you to do something for me," I said when he scurried up to the top.
"Saw-Saw,"
he said as he bounced on his toes. "I need you to take this and hook it to one of those rings up there," I said as I pointed at the ceiling. "Do you think you can climb that wall?"
"Saw-Saw,"
he said triumphantly as he took the heavy block and tackle from me. The climb was easy for him, and once he had reached the top, he sprang from the wall, grabbed one of the rings, and swung to another like a gymnast. "Hook it to that last ring closest to the cliff," I instructed, and he successfully hooked the second anchor ring. "Now pass the rope around that one wheel. Yes, just like that. Okay, that's good. Now come down."
"Dada,"
he said proudly, and then he slid down the rope I held and dropped down into a 3-point landing like a superhero right next to me.
"I'm going to lower a cart down," I whispered to him as I leaned over to see Callie looking up at us. "Both of you focus on precious stones and jewelry. It is lighter than the gold and also more valuable. I should be ready to go in 2 more loads.
Saw-Saw gave me a salute, and he disappeared back down the side of the cliff to join Callie. I watched them move back into the drain system, and then I turned back around to work more on my pulley. I returned to the discarded carts and pulled out one that didn't have wheels. I then found what must have been a dwarven wrench among the discarded tools and used it to disassemble the braking mechanism of the cart. Once I had stripped the cart, I secured another rope through 2 bolt holes and around the lip on each end of the cart to stabilize it when I hauled it up the cliffside. I carried it over to the cliff and slowly lowered it down. Callie and Saw-Saw had a pretty big pile of treasure stacked at the bottom of the cliff, and when they brought out another load, I gestured for them to wait. Then I shimmied down the rope and we began filling the cart. The sounds of merriment still spilled out of the palace, and no one had yet ventured around to the back where we were. "All right," I told Saw-Saw and Callie. "I'm going to haul this load up and then send the cart back down.
You guys fill it up as fast as you can, okay?
Saw-saw,
my son said with an eager nod.
You two are the most fun people I've ever met in my whole life, Callie said with a wide grin. This is so exciting.
It will be more exciting if we make it out of here alive. I chuckled, and then I climbed back up the cliff and began to haul the cart full of loot up to the top. The load was heavy as hell, but the ring that anchored it to the ceiling held firm. Once it was above the ledge, I gave it a kick so that it would swing out over the edge. When it swung back, I lowered it onto the shelf and began to transport it to the cart waiting on the rail. After three such trips, our getaway cart was nearly full, so I went down to help the others load the last of the treasure. And that is when a shrill voice cried out,
"Thieves!"
I spun around and saw a goblin charging at Saw-Saw with a mean-looking spear. My son leapt right over the attacking goblin, twisted at the apex of his jump, came down behind the goblin, and buried his hatchet in the creature's back before I could draw my weapon. But the goblin still screamed as he died, and the three of us all let out a collective gasp. Then we stood as still as statues and listened. 5 seconds passed, and right when I thought we were safe, a horn blared in the distance. Then I heard a distant roar that sounded like either thunder or 1,000 angry goblins. Fuck, I said as I rushed over to the cart. Get in. Saw-Saw and Callie leapt into the cart with me and knelt among the treasure. Seconds later, the sounds of angry goblins began to issue from both sides of the stalagmite, and I pulled on the rope with all my might. The cart slowly began to rise, but each of my full-length arm tugs only brought us up a few inches.
Dada!
Saw-Saw shouted, and I turned to my side to see the horde of goblins pouring through the narrow passage between the boulders. Shit! I hissed, and then I started yanking on the pulley as if my life depended on it. Actually, all three of our lives depended on it. Arrows and spears flew past us and twanged against the stone of the cliff face. None of them hit us, but one arrow pierced a sack we had set near the rim, and it spilled gold coins like lifeblood through the hole created by an arrowhead.
Dada!
My son urged. I'm trying! I told him as I pulled the rope hand over fist and leaned backward for maximum leverage. The goblins began climbing the cliff face, and when I glanced down, I saw at least 10 of them coming after us. One of them grabbed the side of the cart and began to pull himself up, but Callie cracked him in the head with a big, gilded chalice. When he refused to let go, Saw-Saw gave a war cry and chopped off his fingers with a swing of his hand axe. The goblin fell screaming into two of his brethren, and the trio of them tumbled down the face of the cliff. More of the beasts reached the cart and tried to climb inside, and I growled against the extra weight. We were now a quarter of the way to the top, but the little bastards were on us like rats on cheese. Each pull of the rope made my fingers, biceps, and back burn.
Holy shit!
Saw-Saw yelled as he kicked one of the goblins in the face and knocked him off the cart.
Fuck off!
Callie suddenly began to sing, and the ache faded from my muscles. Strength washed through my body, and I redoubled my efforts as the siren song echoed through the city. But then I glanced down behind me and saw a tidal wave of angry green bodies surging up the cliff wall.
Throw the treasure away if you need to, I shouted as I yanked on the rope as fast as I could.
Saw-Saw tossed down heavy bars of gold and gilded statuettes at the goblins. The projectiles cracked skulls, smashed teeth, and sent mewling goblins careening to the hard stone floor. Each hit caused my son to cackle with glee, and soon he was laughing hysterically as he kicked fuckers in the face, chopped them with his axe, or hurled heavy pieces of treasure at them. As he tossed the treasure, our load got lighter, and we put more distance between us and the climbing horde of goblins. When we cleared the ridge, I swung us over the edge and let go of the rope. Then we hit the ground at an angle and spilled out of the cart with the treasure. The three of us were on our feet immediately, and Callie rushed over to her trident as Saw-Saw and I turned to battle the goblins that poured over the side of the cliff. Then we stood side by side as we fought off the angry little devils. Callie impaled three of the beasts with one strike of her trident and used them to sweep others off the cliff to her left. To her right, Saw-Saw gleefully chopped off any fingers that tried to grip the ledge, and I stood behind him and cracked the skulls of the more stubborn with my battle axe. Callie continued to sing as she fought, and a good 2 minutes of battle passed without the usual exhaustion penetrating my muscles.
Then the last goblin poked his head up over the cliff, and Sawsaw kicked him in the face. The angry little monster let out a screech of disappointment, and then the three of us eased up to the ledge and looked down the cliff. There must have been 40 bodies broken at the bottom, but it looked like a new wave of goblins were pouring through the small gap between the boulders. And one of them had a sparkling crown on his head. It must have been Nika's father. "Time to go," I said. "Quickly, gather up the treasure we dumped out and then throw it in the cart on the rails."
"Sawsaw,"
my son said, and then the three of us scooped up gold, gems, plates, and the other loose treasure and tossed it into the cart. The cleanup process only took us a few minutes, and then I told them to jump in the cart while I checked the cliff. The new wave of goblins was a quarter of the way up the cliff wall, so I figured we had about a 5-minute head start on them. Then I ran to the cart, kicked the stones, breaking the wheels free, and shoulder-checked the back end. The thing must have weighed 600 pounds, but Callie started to sing again, and my muscles filled with enough strength to get it rolling. I just hoped we had enough of a lead, and that I had enough strength to get us to the exit in time. Chapter 15. I could hear goblins screaming while they were scaling up the cliff wall behind us, but the only thing I could control was how hard I pushed the damn cart, so I focused on that and hoped for the best. Even with Callie's song bolstering me, a few minutes of pushing the cart across the rails was causing my arms, legs, and back to scream with agony, and buckets of sweat were pouring from my head. When the cart began to go faster than I pushed it, I leapt up onto the back, and the others helped pull me up on top of the treasure mound. I gasped with relief and glanced back to see about 30 goblins running some 50 feet behind us. The rail began to veer downward, however, and we all gave a collective cry as we surged down a steep descent. Then the voices of the goblins faded and were replaced by the howling wind and thunderous rattle of the wheels on the track. "Hold on tight," I urged Callie and Sawsaw as I gripped the sides of the cart. Sawsaw laughed like a maniac, and a delighted Callie whooped and cheered as she clung onto my arm. I seemed to be the only one who was about to shit himself as we leveled out and rocketed through the dark tunnels. We shot out of the tunnel and into the giant cavern like a bullet, and I prayed that we would stay on the track as I pointed my flashlight ahead of us. "Lean right," I yelled to the others as the track turned slightly right. "Lean left," I told them when the track turned to the left. The rail rose over a giant stone formation and then dropped beneath a natural shelf. We zipped in between hanging stalactites, over tall stalagmites, and between massive rock formations. The cart rattled and shrieked as we continued to pick up speed, and I realized that we were coming up to the rickety bridge that had groaned a bit when we walked across it earlier. "Think light thoughts," I shouted as the cart shot out of the cavern mouth and slid across the bridge. The drop below us went on forever, and the bridge let out a horrific rumble as we rolled across it. My heart almost leaped out of my mouth as the groan seemed to get as loud as Sawsaw's laughter was, but then we hit the firm ground on the other side, and I felt my head spin when I exhaled. Up ahead, the rail made a sharp right and disappeared into the mouth of a colossal statue that I hadn't noticed on our way here. I remembered the braking mechanism, grabbed the handle, and yanked up as hard as I could. "Lean right!" I screamed over the shrieking metal. Sparks erupted from the wheels and singed my hair, but the cart slowed down quickly, and I released the brake as we leaned into the turn. The statue of a proud dwarf king swallowed us whole, and after a few seconds of darkness, we emerged into the glowing cavern full of crystals that reminded me of Superman's Fortress of Solitude. We went up a steep incline, and I feared that I had slowed us down too much. The cart barely made it to the top, and we stopped for one heartbeat at the apex. "Come on, come on, come on," I chanted as I leaned forward, and then the cart inched a few inches forward and started down once more, zipped through a cavern full of giant mushrooms and shot down a long tunnel. "This is our stop," I told them when I recognized the tunnel near where we had saved Callie. We were moving at a good clip, so I yanked back on the braking lever, but it seemed that the old rusty thing had had enough and it broke off. We all stared at the lever in my hand, and then looked forward at the pile of stones blocking the rail.
"Oh, shit,"
Sawsaw groaned. 2 seconds later, the front wheels of the cart hit the stones and ejected us like a catapult. I let out a long, "Fuck!" as I tumbled through the air. Gold coins, bars, fine necklaces, rubies, diamonds, and pearls flew by, along with Sawsaw and Callie, and we landed 20 feet away. By the grace of some god, we landed on a patch of thick moss, and when we tumbled to a stop, I leaped to my feet and gave a triumphant cheer.
"Holy shit,"
Sawsaw said as he lay there panting and covered in loot.
"That was amazing,"
sang Callie. Then she rushed over, gave me a big hug, and planted a kiss on my lips before I could react. Her lips were sweet and salty, and my manhood stood at attention as she pressed her trembling body against mine. Then the mermaid woman released me, rushed over to Sawsaw, and gave him a kiss on the cheek. The half-goblin boy giggled afterward, and then he hugged my leg and buried his face in my thigh. "All right," I told them both as I hugged Sawsaw. "Let's get this loot gathered up and get the hell out of here."
"But how will we carry it all now?"
Callie asked. I glanced back at the beat-up cart and noticed that the collision had knocked off the front wheels. "I've got an idea," I said. "You two bring the loot back over to the cart." I ran back to the cart and checked the back wheels. The axle was still intact, and the wheels still spun, so I knew that with a little ingenuity and a little elbow grease, I could turn it into a wheelbarrow. I located the braking bar and used the dwarven wrench to take the one remaining wheel off the dislocated axle. The axle was a little bent, but it wouldn't be an issue. What was going to be tricky was attaching the two bars to the cart. The front of the cart was now the back, and there was a hole right where a handle would go on the back right side. I put the braking lever through the hole and tied it down with a length of rope. When I lifted the cart, all the pressure would be on the entry hole and the bottom of the makeshift wheelbarrow. The rope was only needed to keep it from moving from side to side. Happy with my right handle, I went to work similarly attaching the axle to the left side. By the time I was done, Callie and Sawsaw had piled up all the loot near where I was working. We hurriedly loaded the wheelbarrow, and I tested the weight of the load. It was heavy as all hell, but I thought that I could manage it as long as Callie sang. A shitload of treasure was a good motivator, too. "You want a drink before we head out?" I asked Callie as I offered her my water tube.
Yeah.
She snapped her eyes up to meet my gaze, and I realized that I had caught her checking me out. "Here," I said as I wiggled the end of my camelback again.
"Thank you,"
she said as she took it, then she tossed back her long blonde hair to drink. The movement made my denim-clad monster twitch, so I glanced away and saw Sawsaw trying to sneak off with Callie's trident. "Hey, give that back to her," I said. He froze and turned to me with a pouty face. "Now," I reiterated.
"Die, die, die,"
he yelled and pretended to fight off his imaginary enemies. "I'll get you a die, die, die later when we get home," I promised. Sawsaw smiled happily and returned the trident to Callie, who seemed to love the little dude's antics.
"You are as cute as an underdark dolphin, aren't you?"
she asked with a twinkle in her aquamarine eyes. He grinned at her and batted his brown eyes.
"You make cute babies, Ken,"
she said as she turned to look at me, and I felt my cheeks flush a bit. Thanks, I said. "Let's get going, or I'm not going to be making any more." I hefted my load and started wheeling it into the tunnel to the right. "Sawsaw, you run ahead and make sure the way is clear. Callie, you mind clearing my path of stones and other obstacles while you sing?"
"Not at all,"
she said as she passed and touched my shoulder.
"I can do anything you ask."
I almost dropped my load as I watched her walk ahead like a runway model. Her toned ass peeked out from beneath my t-shirt, and her curvaceous hips swayed as she walked. I might have drooled, but the cart was super heavy, even with her singing, and I realized that we still might not have enough time to get out into the sun before the goblins caught up with us. We were going to need to hurry. It was a real bitch hauling that cart through the Underdark, but I got by on images of all the supplies and food that the treasure would buy. If I could get the loot back to the house, I might be the richest man on the surface world. I would build a stone fortress there on the ridge and defenses that would decimate our attackers. Callie and Sawsaw helped to get the cart over ledges and through the rougher terrain, but by the time we reached the room at the natural spring where Nika and I had first made love, we were all covered in sweat and panting so much that Callie had to stop singing. I figured we needed a break, so I put down the cart beside the pool and told everyone to catch their breath. While they recovered, I moved back to the tunnel that led us there and listened as my heart rate came down. I didn't hear anything, but right before I was about to return, the sound of angry goblins drifted toward me. Shit, I hissed under my breath and rushed back into the room. The goblins are coming. Let's stash some treasure in the pool. Take with you only what you can carry.
Oh, no, Callie said. We can't take it all?
It will slow us down too much. Those goblins are maybe 1-2 minutes behind us. Don't worry, we'll come back for it, I assured her.
No,
Callie growled.
I will give you the strength. This is my strongest song, and I can only sing it once every year.
Before I could argue, she began to sing, and her voice reached glorious new heights. It reverberated in the small room and filled my mind and body with overwhelming fortitude. I felt invincible as I stood bathed in her magical chorus, and when I lifted the wheelbarrow, it felt as if it weighed almost nothing whatsoever.
Callie, you're amazing, I yelled, and then we raced through the room and into the next tunnel with all the loot intact.
When we finally reached the tunnel that would lead us out, I warned Callie off the tripwires and showed her how to get around them. Sawsaw erupted into the sunlight at the end of the tunnel and happily urged Callie on.
Are you sure that I can follow?
She asked nervously as she stood at the threshold.
I'm not sure, I said. My power is to bring months, I mean, people like you out of the Underdark. It worked for Nika, and you can see that the sun doesn't affect Sawsaw. I don't really know exactly what bonding means, but I know it's worked before.
She glanced at my son, who stood in the sunshine with a happy grin on his little green face. I could still see her hesitation, so I placed a comforting hand on her shoulder. Put your hand out into the sunlight to test it, I suggested, and then I glanced back over my shoulder at the sound of the approaching goblin horde.
Okay,
she said sheepishly as she grabbed a hold of my hand for support. Callie slowly moved her other hand toward the slanted beam of sunlight that shone into the cave.
Go on, you can do it, I told her.
She trembled beside me and finally thrust her hand out into the light. Her milky white skin seemed to glow in the sunlight, and Callie took in a startled breath.
See? I said. It works.
Ouch!
She cried and pulled her suddenly smoking hand back into the shade.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry, I told her as my stomach dropped. That shouldn't have happened.
Boo-boo,
Sawsaw said, and he rushed back in to see if she was all right. Callie smiled down at him as he fussed about her. She looked to me as well, and I saw her begin to blink away tears.
It's not your fault, she said. You were just trying to help. I was silly to think that I could go out into the light and be part of your family.
No, I said. There must be an explanation. It should have worked.
The goblins were drawing closer with every passing second, and now Callie was stuck. Sawsaw, I said as I undid the tripwire and then pushed the wheelbarrow full of gold out of the tunnel and set it in the sun beside the horse so the goblins couldn't get it.
Race back to the house as fast as you can and get your mother to come. Maybe she can figure out why my power isn't working for Callie.
Sawsaw,
he said with grim determination. Then he saluted me, waved to Callie, and sprinted away. The shrieks and curses of the goblins echoed through the tunnel when I returned, and I knew that they would come around the corner at any moment.
Come with me, I urged Callie as I grabbed her hand, and we ran to the back of the cave.
I took the tunnel to the right and then moved to my pitfall trap. I had designed it for just this type of situation, but I had assumed that some crazed monster would be after me when I used it, not a pack of vicious goblins with spears and bows. The trap might work on a few of them, but they were going to smarten up real quick when they saw their friends fall to their deaths. It was still our best chance of survival. I still had 6 shots in my M17 and 2 spare mags. I would use it to kill every last one of the bastards if it meant defending Callie. She had entrusted me with her safety, and I wasn't going to let her down. Careful now. Go around the moss, I told the beautiful siren as we reached the end of the tunnel, shimmied around the 10-foot circular rim, and waited on the shelf on the other side.
What now?
Callie asked as she gripped her trident. Now we wait. The pitfall will take some of them, but we're going to have to fight the rest, I explained.
What if we don't have to fight?
She said as she gazed at the moss that covered the pitfall. What do you mean?
I am a siren,
she said as she handed me her trident. Then I stepped back as she spread her arms wide and raised her head toward the heavens. She looked like a Greek goddess as she stood there, majestic and proud. I was about to ask her what she was doing, but then she began to sing. Her voice gave me instant goosebumps as it rose to the ceiling and echoed throughout the small alcove. Her song was wordless, but it spoke to my heart and my soul like nothing else ever had. My heart soared as her voice rose, and at that moment I knew that I was in the presence of great magic. The goblins seemed to think the same thing. They ambled into the tunnel, their faces devoid of the rage that had laced their taunting growls. The beasts were transfixed on her, and they slowly shuffled forward like sleepwalkers. Four of them stepped onto the moss at the same time, and as intended, the branches snapped, and the goblins fell into endless darkness. I held my gun to the side and watched with amazement as the others followed their hapless friends, and one after the other fell into the pit of doom like lemmings. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and my mind instantly went to the story of the Pied Piper leading the rats out of town with his mesmerizing melody. When the last of the group of 30 goblins stepped into darkness and fell to his death hundreds of feet below, Callie ended her song with a haunting lamentation. Her final note seemed to linger forever as it bounced off the walls, and then the beautiful siren smiled at me. That was amazing, I told her after I closed my mouth and wiped the drool from my chin.
Thank you,
she blushed.
It is hard for me to sing that when I am not in the water, so I'm glad that it worked.
You just saved our asses, I said as I peeked down the tunnel. I know there are more of them coming after us, but I can't hear any. Can you?
No,
she said as she shook her head. Then we've got some time, I said. I don't know how much, but...
Do you really think that your wife can help me?
She asked. Only one way to find out, I said as I took her hand. Come on. We snuck through the tunnel and I checked the other one that led deeper into the Underdark. I didn't hear or see anything, so I led Callie back to the cave exit. Saw-Saw and Nika arrived 5 minutes later and rushed into the cave.
Dada!
Saw-Saw yelled when he saw me. We're all right, little dude, I told him.
Saw-Saw said that goblins had you cornered,
Nika panted, and I guessed that they had both sprinted back as fast as they could. Callie here lured them into my pitfall, I said, and my wife smiled at the beautiful siren.
You must be very clever to be able to do such a thing, the goblin woman said as she looked Callie up and down approvingly. I'm Nika. It is very nice to meet you. Hello, Nika. I'm Calliope, but you can call me Callie. I love your name, and I have never seen a goblin so beautiful. Thank you, Nika gushed. I've never seen a merwoman so pretty. You are too pretty to eat, for sure.
Nika offered me a look that suggested I had chosen wisely.
Thank you,
Callie said, and her blue eyes nervously looked at me.
I can see why Kanjul, my beloved king, chose you. Chose me?
Callie asked as she raised an eyebrow. It's not important right now, I said as I rested my hand on each of the beautiful monster women's shoulders. We've got to figure out why my power isn't working for you. Do you have any ideas, Nika? She said as she paced back and forth in front of the exit.
The witch told you that you could bring monsters out that you had bonded with, yeah?
Yeah, I repeated.
I wonder what she meant by bond, Nika asked as she tapped her chin.
I don't know, really, I said. I kind of thought it meant befriended, but I have befriended Callie and it didn't work. She got burned by the suns.
Could it be that you can only help certain monsters? Callie suggested.
No, Grunhelga just said monsters. She said that my power was to bond with them and bring them out into the daylight.
Wait, Nika said and slapped a palm to her forehead. What if bond means that you have to have sex with them?
Callie and I shared a look, and the siren seemed hopeful. Do you think that's what it means? I asked Nika, and she offered me a devilish grin.
Only one way to find out. You should definitely have sex with her right now.
We both looked at Callie, and the beautiful siren looked me up and down. Then she regarded Nika quizzically.
Are you telling me that I get to have sex with this beautiful man of yours and then walk out into the sunlight?
She asked skeptically.
Oh, yes. We have been waiting for someone like you, Nika said. Make love to Ken Jewel, walk in the light with us, and join our family.
Callie leveled me with an erotic gaze, glanced back at the nodding and smiling Nika, and then slowly peeled off her t-shirt. Then the beautiful blonde woman reached her hand out to me.
It will be fun to try,
Callie whispered, and I saw Nika wrap her arm around Saw-Saw and then walk out of the cave so that we could have some privacy.
Please make love to me, Ken Jewel,
the blue-eyed woman purred as our eyes met.
Please let me walk in the sun with you.
Chapter 16.
Callie's tongue urgently explored mine as her hands moved over my chest, down my abs, and into my pants. She gasped when she took my hard cock in her hands, and then she practically panted as she frantically undid my belt and pants. I lifted her up, and she wrapped her arms and legs around me. My hands gripped her firm ass as I carried her to the right side of the cave and laid her down on a bed of soft green moss. I pulled off my shirt, and she finished undoing my pants as if she was unwrapping a gift she had been longing for. When I moved on to my side to pull off my boots, she was on me like a cougar. Then she trailed kisses down my stomach and took me in her mouth. I instantly forgot about my boots and the pants around my knees. After a few minutes of giving me a wonderful blowjob, Callie hurriedly climbed on top of me, then pushed me inside her. She began to sing as she gyrated, and her words might as well have been Cupid's arrows. The beautiful siren's song echoed throughout the cave and created a chorus of ecstasy in my mind. I held her milky white ass as she rode me like a rodeo cowgirl. She dug her nails into my chest and then grabbed my head to stare into my eyes. Her gaze was hypnotic. Her song made my head swoon, and soon I was lost in a sea of never-ending pleasure. She urged me to fill her with my magical seed in a voice laced with passion and lust, and I couldn't resist her command. We climaxed together, and our chorus of pleasure seemed to shake the entire Underdark. I lay there, half-dressed and panting. Callie had collapsed on top of me and hugged me tight as she continued to spasm and jerk with orgasmic aftershocks. She finally lifted her head, and I smiled at her. Her long blonde hair was disheveled, but in a wild, sexy kind of way. Her big blue eyes regarded me lovingly, and she kissed me.
Thank you, Ken, she whispered. Thank you for saving me from the goblins.
You're welcome, I said, although we still didn't know if I had to have sex with a monster woman in order for them to walk in the sun. The beautiful siren gave me one last kiss before she climbed off of me and faced the cave exit. I pulled up my pants, retrieved my molly pack full of loot, and joined her at the threshold. Are you ready? I asked. She let out a nervous little laugh and wiped at a tear forming in her eye.
I hope this works, she told me as she took my hand.
It'll work, I assured her, even though I didn't quite know for sure. She nodded and replaced her nervous look with a brave, resolute face. Slowly, we raised our hands into the sunlight and held our breath. Her skin didn't burn, and she exhaled a sigh of pleasure. Then we took a step together, and then we took another. We crossed the threshold of light, and the twin sun's beams washed over Callie as we emerged. The blonde woman's face still looked concerned, but as the rays of light washed over her soft skin, a wide smile spread across her beautiful face.
Oh, Father of the Deep, I have been blessed, she said musically.
Nika and Saw-Saw were waiting by the oak tree that I had tied Charlie to, and my wife smiled at the two of us.
Nika?
Callie said, too choked up with emotion to finish the sentence.
Nika rushed over to her and hugged her like a long-lost sister, and Sawsaw did backflips as he sang, "Holy shit, holy shit, holy shit."
"Welcome to the surface world," I said to Callie, and the women both wrapped their arms around me as we danced with Sawsaw.
"It is amazing," Callie said as she spun a circle in the sunlight and let her tears sprinkle down her cheeks. "Thank you all so much. This is such a wonderful gift. I am so happy."
Callie's joy was infectious, and I found myself clearing my throat and blinking back a few tears myself as she continued to spread her arms wide and danced and sang. Nika took Callie by the hand and led her down to the river while Sawsaw and I loaded up Charlie's wagon with the loot. When we got the load down to the water, we found the two women swimming and laughing. Nika was delighted by Callie's beautiful fins, but she was even more impressed by my new wife's ability to catch fish.
"Sawsaw?"
my son asked as he stood on the wagon bench beside me. "Go ahead. I got this," I told him. He cheered and did a backflip off the wagon. Then he raced over to the river, ran along a tree that hung over the water, and surprised his mother with a cannonball. I watched my women frolic in the water and smiled at Sawsaw's joyous laughter when Callie let him ride on her back. He held onto her fin when she dove deep, and 3 seconds later the two shot out of the water. They spun in the air as multicolored water droplets cascaded around them, and Callie's elegant fins sparkled in the sunlight, changing from violet to azure, pink, orange, and aquamarine. The sight of my two beautiful women and my happy son filled me with a contentment that I had never known on Earth. At that moment, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was the luckiest man in the universe, and I let them play in the water for another 15 minutes before they all climbed back on the wagon. I drove the horse up the hill toward our homestead, with my treasure and family in the wagon. The thought of more monster wives and monster children excited the hell out of me. I had been a little nervous about a second wife and how she was going to fit into our little family, but now that I heard Nika and Callie chatter like best friends, I knew that we had found a special woman. It was almost like destiny, or maybe more like deja vu. I felt like I had met these two women before. Perhaps it was only in my dreams, perhaps I was just high on endorphins. All I knew was that fate seemed to be smiling on me. When we reached the homestead, Nika helped Callie to dry off her fins. My first wife watched mystified as the long fin changed into two long, shapely legs, and soon the three of them were racing up the stone path toward the house. I drove Charlie around the terrace fields and tied him off to the barn. It occurred to me to tend to the treasure first, but I just had to see Callie's reaction to the home that I had built.
"This cove is so warm and cozy,"
the beautiful siren was saying when I walked in. Then she turned to me and added,
"Did you really build this yourself?"
"Yeah." I gave my pants a little hike and guessed that I probably looked like a strutting rooster. But hey, I was King Cock, and this was my castle.
"It is amazing,"
she said as she ran her long fingers over one of the side support beams. "Nika and Sawsaw helped a bunch," I said. "And there was already the stone wall."
"He's being modest," Nika said with a wave. "He is the greatest warren builder in the world. You just wait and see what he builds with the goblin treasure."
Callie nodded excitedly as Nika spoke, and her wide eyes turned to investigate the home more. Sawsaw took her by the hand and led her around, answering most of her questions with "Sawsaw" or "Dada." But Callie understood his meaning just as easily as his mother and I did. Nika hugged me and gave me a big kiss as Sawsaw explained the fireplace to Callie.
"Holy shit!"
he yelled and pulled his hand back from the fire to show her it was dangerous.
"You did so good, Kenjul.
She is perfect,"
Nika whispered to me. "She is, isn't she?" I said with a smile.
"Where did you find her?"
I told her the story of the goblins and the big cauldron and how I thought they were trying to cook a human woman. When I explained how Callie had used her siren song to thwart the goblins, Nika became very excited.
"She will be very good for our army," she said dreamily. "And if the children she gives you are anything like her,
They will be very powerful. They will all sing together and give all of your children increased strength. You will see.
I think you are right, I said as I imagined having a school of mer-babies swimming around in the river and chuckled to myself.
How did Saw-Saw do in the Underdark? Nika asked.
He was amazing. Just like you said, we both killed a bugbear and slaughtered those goblins like it was a walk in the park.
He is such a good boy, Nika said with a contented sigh.
We got a shit ton of loot, I told her.
How much is a shit ton? She asked, intrigued.
A mining cart full. We got diamonds, rubies, emeralds, gold, silver, and jewelry, even some adorned weapons and armor. But it wasn't a tenth of what your father has down there.
I can't wait to see it, she said excitedly. Did you get the Minotaur balls?
Yeah, I said, but before I could ask her what she intended for us to do with them, Callie came back around to the front of the house.
I absolutely love your cove, she said. You both know how to make such wonderful things.
Thank you, Nika responded. Do you know how to make things as well? You look like a very clever woman.
My people live mostly in the water, Callie answered. We don't make beautiful coves like this. Our homes are deep beneath the water in natural caves, but I have other skills that will benefit the family, such as fishing and underwater farming.
Let's not forget your amazing siren song, I reminded her.
I have many songs, she happily explained to Nika. Some make you faster and stronger, others make you happy, and others make people I don't like sad. I can still learn others, and I can teach our babies.
That sounds like a wonderful ability, Nika said affably. You are going to fit in just great.
Saw-Saw came running into the house and dumped an armload of loot onto the kitchen table. Nika gasped, and her eyes sparkled with the reflections of all the precious stones.
Da-da!
He said, and then he scampered back out the door. I helped him bring in the rest of the loot, and we all sorted through the pile that took up almost half of our living room. Given what I knew about the monetary system in the neighboring villages, I guessed that I had enough treasure sitting in front of me to last an entire lifetime. But only if I wanted to live a normal life. Nika wanted me to be a king. No, an emperor of the entire world. And I wanted that too. This money wouldn't go that far when I factored in building fortresses and feeding an army of monster babies. I was going to need more. A lot more. After an hour spent marveling at the loot, Nika started cooking dinner for the four of us. Callie was very interested in learning how to cook food, since her people lived on a diet of mostly raw fish and seaweed, and together the women made a hearty meal of potatoes and grilled chicken. I figured that with our fortune, we could afford to kill one of the hens, and it was a special occasion anyway. The four of us enjoyed our meal, and Callie asked us all 100 questions. She was very interested to learn that I was from another planet, and was even more impressed when I told her that on Earth, humans had figured out how to make flying machines. When I told her that we had gone to our world's moon, the beautiful siren giggled and insisted that I was teasing. Saw-Saw was infatuated with the newest addition to the family, and he insisted that we bring her outside to look at the stars when night fell. Nika thought that it sounded like fun as well, and even packed a basket with apples, bread, cheese, and chocolate. I added a bottle of mead to the basket, and we all walked down to the river. The red moon hadn't yet risen, and the stars were shining bright in the dark sky. I lay on the blanket with Nika to my right and Callie to my left and reminded myself that I was the luckiest son of a bitch in the whole universe. I was about to suggest that we take a swim in the river when I heard a gunshot in the distance, and I knew immediately that something had set off the tripwire I had placed in the cave leading to the Underdark. "Did you hear that?" I asked the others. They seemed not to have noticed, but as we listened to the still night, another sound rose in the distance. It was the steady beat of drums.
Oh, that's a goblin war party, Nika said as she yawned.
A war party? I said as I shot to my feet.
Yep, Nika said with a wide smile on her face. They must have tracked you from the Underdark.
Oh no,
Callie exclaimed.
Shit,
Saw-Saw added. Do not worry, Callie, Nika said. Ken has built us a strong warren, and he has added many defenses. The goblins won't defeat us. Instead, we will slaughter all of them and take their loot. It will be fun. You will see.
The drums sounded pretty far away, but I guessed that the war party would arrive in less than 15 minutes. Nika, how many goblins are there usually in a war party?
It depends. Sometimes there are as few as 5. She said, and I breathed a little easier, but then she added, But you stole my father's treasure, so he probably sent a few hundred.
A few hundred? I gasped.
Yes, Nika said happily. Isn't it so exciting? This is our first chance to show the denizens of the Underdark how powerful we are.
All right, everyone, let's move. We've got to get into position. I pointed up back at the homestead, and we all began to grab our picnic supplies. Then we raced back up the hill. When I got inside the house, I grabbed all my gear and then helped Saw-Saw strap 2 bejeweled daggers to his belt. Then he pointed at 2 dwarven hatchets, and I gestured for him to take them. My goblin wife chose a short sword from the pile of loot, and Callie took up her gleaming trident. Once we were all armed, we hurried up onto the battlements that faced east. I scanned the ridge and saw torchlight in the distance, perhaps a half a mile away. If the goblins were smart, they would fan out north and south and attack us from different angles, but my trip lines would alert us to such a maneuver.
Callie, do you know how to throw a spear? I asked as I gestured to the many spears strategically placed along the inner defenses.
Of course, she said and held up her trident. Every siren is trained for battle.
Good, I said. Nika, do goblins, you know, ever negotiate?
Oh no, Kenjul. Not with treasure thieves, they don't.
She offered me a delighted smile.
They are coming to fight, and if they find out that I am here, then they will try to bring me back as well. Mama?
Saw-Saw asked with worry painted on his cute face.
It's all right, honey. Nika laughed. Clan Jewel is powerful. These stupid goblins from my father will not be victorious.
I liked Nika's enthusiasm, but I didn't share her optimism. If there were upwards of 100 goblins in the raiding party, we would be hard-pressed to defend the homestead. The drums continued to sound in the distance, and the glow of the many torches lit the ridgeline less than a mile away. Come on, Saw-Saw. I said as I gestured down the hill. Let's get the drop on them. Maybe we can confuse them and make them think there are more of us than there really are.
Saw-Saw,
he declared as he clanged his little hatchets together. You two stay here, I told Nika and Callie. We'll be back before they arrive.
Happy hunting, Nika said happily, but Callie was worried, and she hugged both me and Saw-Saw tightly. Be careful out there. She said after she had kissed me on the cheek.
I led Saw-Saw through the gate, secured it behind me, and then we both sprinted down the slope toward the river. 5 minutes later, we reached the goblin war party and watched from behind a big boulder as they marched across the ridge single file. I counted 60 of them, all heavily armed and wearing armor fashioned from bone and dirty leather pieces. Their weapons ranged from clubs to short swords and spears, and I breathed a sigh of relief when I realized that there were no archers. Nika always told me that goblins were good at sneaking, but the war party didn't seem concerned with stealth. The drums echoed heavily down through the valley as the goblins chanted,
Kill the human, get the loot, cut off his head, steal his boots.
I had to admit the little song had a ring to it. All right, Saw-Saw, I said as I kneeled beside him. We're going to creep up behind them and take out the ones at the end of the line. Strike hard and get out fast. Don't be seen.
Saw-Saw,
he whispered and offered me a fist bump. I tapped the little guy's fist with mine and his skin suddenly changed color. When the war party passed our hiding spot, we quietly tiptoed up on the 2 goblins in the back. They held black banners and didn't appear to be armed, and they went down quietly as Saw-Saw and I slit their throats. We plucked 2 more from their ranks and cut their heads off with our axes. The goblins made so much noise as they marched that it wasn't hard to go unheard as we stalked them. And we had killed 8 of them by the time anyone looked back and noticed that they were gone.
It's the human!
One of them screamed when he saw me,
but a second later Sawsaw rode him to the ground and stabbed him about 12 times in a matter of seconds. "Fall back!" I yelled to Sawsaw, and we both hauled ass down the south side of the ridge toward the river. Spears thudded into the ground in our wake, but we managed to reach the trees which lined the river. I glanced back and saw that 10 of the goblins had broken off from the main group.